Ebola hits a little closer to home. Plus, we have a What the Heck Are They Thinking episode coming up on today's program.
Live from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your host, Cliff and Robin, along with former Lane County Commissioner Cindy Wheeldryer and Pastor Bradley. Join us for a roundtable discussion of what's in the news today. And now, here's your host, Cliff and Robin.
And I apologize for the old intro as we're dealing with very slow computers and things fighting me. In fact, still trying to get logged into the chat room. So Pastor Bradley and them are not here today. It's just little old me and little old Cliff sitting way over there in his little old town. And here we are doing our little old thing. And by the way, we are also, as far as I can tell, the longest running internet talk show and blog talk radio in Eugene, Oregon.
Probably. Most likely in a lot of places.
Yes, since late 2009 we started doing this. And where thousands and thousands of listeners have joined in to go, what the hell are they thinking? So
at least thousands.
So welcome to the program. If you are joining us in the chat room, I can't tell at the moment because I'm still trying to get it to load, but our phone number, by the way, which hopefully will work, is, drum roll please, Mr. Cliff.
646. Or was I supposed to do the demo?
Either way.
646-721-9887. That's 646-721-9887.
Yes, call collect or direct, but if you call collect, we're not taking the calls.
I was just going to say, since when are we taking collect calls? Boy, that could be disastrous.
Has anybody ever done a collect call in the last... I mean, who would you charge? Please charge my cell phone. Yeah. Okay.
Technology. What?
Well, I mean, when's the last time you heard somebody call an operator go, I'd like to make a collect call to... Hey, chat room is kind of almost up there.
I don't know. Do they still do collect calls? They must. I mean, they must have some way. Of course, nowadays, we both pay anyway.
Okay, as I'm slowly getting things caught up and the computer's trying to catch up with me, we got several things on the docket today. We have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment coming up early on in the program. We also going to do some more follow-up on the Ebola case, which apparently... we talked about last week about how it's not as contagious as everybody thought, according to CDC, which changed.
Yeah, but since last week, they moved it right into Oregon.
They did. And talk a little bit about three states that I'm aware of. I don't know the other two states outside of Oregon off the top of my head, because that's on three other screens that went away on the power outage this morning. And our... going to have initiatives to allow illegal aliens to have some sort of driver's license. And one of the things that's kind of going on here in Oregon is that we have vote by mail. And so there's an increased number of voter fraud going on. So we're going to touch on that a little bit. And
why would it increase?
Because anybody can go in and register. You just go down to DMV, you get to the elections people, and you pick up a registration form, and you mail it in, and they don't check anything on it.
They didn't do that before. You could have done it before.
Well, they've been able to do that for quite a long time since we went
they've been able to defraud us forever.
Yeah, to motor voter, but with Measure 88 coming up, which is allowing... which will allow illegals to have a driver's license, of sorts. I have to be a four-year license where the rest of the Oregonians get 8 years here. There's been an increase, a significant increase of applications for voter registration that have been coming in, and a lot of them that have not been properly filled out or may be defrauded. But I'll get to that more in details in just a moment.
You see, the ridiculous part is for us to give an eight-year driver's license. That's ridiculous. 8 years, nobody does that. No other state that I know of does that. And that, it costs us money because every 8 years we have to go in and pay to get our driver's license renewed. Other states do it every 2 years, every 4 years, and you get twice as much money from that. I mean, we're losing out in all kinds of ways. I mean, Oregon is really stupid.
I don't know. It cost me $100 for my driver's license.
$100?
$100. Believe me, once they picked me up off the floor, or when I got...
Really?
I was expecting, $20, $30, $40, something like that, when they said, okay, well, $99.95. What?
It's $99.95. It's nothing nowadays. That's just chump change.
Yes, but we'll get into that. And I want to get the what the heck...
Because I'm a chump.
Okay, chump. Let's get the what the heck are they thinking out of the way, and like I said, we got a lot to try and squeeze in here within the hour.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, things are getting a little bit ridiculous here, and PC crowd is also getting, well, let's put it this way. We just had Halloween. Halloween's one of my favorite holidays of the year, and unfortunately I had to work it last night, so dang it. My neighbors go all out. I mean, they have this displays, fog machines, and I don't even know how much money they spend. And not just for me, but for a lot of kids too, they look forward to dressing up and going to school dressed up if Halloween falls on a weekday or pretty close to it. It's kind of a U.S. tradition in most areas. However, this week's award goes out to Newington, Connecticut, where in a small town, I'm trying to read and do everything at the same time.
Newington, they've got to be a small town. Because that's a pretty unoriginal name.
Yeah, it is. Ruth Chaffee Elementary and the Anita Reynolds Schools will hold what's called a fall festival, where kids can dress up at the fall festival in the fall festival type costumes. They will not be allowed to wear the traditional costumes that most kids wear on Halloween. They are banning it.
Okay, who's banning it?
The schools themselves are banning. They're banning Halloween, so to speak. But they're allowing kids, if they still want to dress up, they can dress up celebrating the fall festival. Not All Hallows Eve, like everybody else does.
The fall festival.
Yeah.
Does anybody celebrate the fall festival? What is the fall festival?
I don't know. I mean, but I was just thinking a bunch of kids dressing up as hey, so what are you this year, Timmy? Oh, I am a tree going into see the colors of my fall leaves? Ooh, I'm scared.
I'd rather be a leaf. Dress up as a leaf.
I think that
that would be neat if you could dress up a leaf. Leaves can fly. I'd like that.
Well, they kind of fall and they cover some important stuff. But
true.
Some of them have a pretty rough job. But that's just one of. I'm sure there's other. If you did a search, there's other schools around the U.S. that have also banned, because we hear stories about this every year that kids aren't allowed to participate in stuff like this, and I think it's really a shame.
It absolutely is, because it doesn't, everybody's so concerned about kids learning terrible things. You're going to learn them anyway. They're going to know all about Halloween and what the rest of the world is doing. I mean, unless your kids are kept in sheer absolute darkness or something.
Yes. I just like on the same page here, Walmart removes fat girl costumes from website.
Removes fat girl costumes?
Yes.
So fat girls can't go in a costume?
No, you can't dress up as a fat girl.
Well, what if you're a fat girl?
I guess you're on your own. I don't.
that's ridiculous. I mean, when you dress up as a fat girl, I get real upset because, you know, that's Walmart is now telling me how I can live. Bullshit.
Yeah. No, the world is telling you that, and it's, like I say, the politically correct crowd is just going to be ridiculous. And like I said, that, you know, is when you make a big deal out of something is when it really gets a child's attention. And it's like, you know, like, for example, when I grew up is that, you know, both my parents smoke, and I was always told, don't smoke.
Of course.
All right. Well, I never did. I mean, I tried it once and went, ew, and that was the end of that, so I never started. But, you know, even though I wasn't really thinking about starting at the time, is that when my parents are constantly telling me, don't smoke, after a while you're going, okay, you do. What's the big deal here?
Yeah.
And then of course, curiosity, you know, gets you, and you got to go try it, and, you know, and your friends are doing it and everything. And so after a round of, said, okay, this is no fun at all. I don't think I'll do this.
I tried smoking. But I never bothered to inhale because that hurt. So to hell with it.
Yeah.
But so smoking was really nothing to me, and it did virtually nothing for me because I didn't really do it.
I agree. And it's just kind of, you know, I knew about diseased lung and everything like that even as a kid, and that's the whole point. Is same thing with the Halloween thing is give kids some credit. You know, for somewhat of intelligence. If you treat them like idiots, they're going to grow up being idiots. You know, if you treat them, you know, like they got some brains, like as we're finding out, you know, kids can get on a computer now and are actually starting to program at a very, very early age. They understand that type of stuff where, you know, a generation or two before, just learning the alphabet was a big deal.
The kids are doing a lot more programming than I do. I don't know how to program a computer, but kids... a quarter of my age, a third of my age, are doing it all the time, and they're doing it much better than I do. As a matter of fact, if it weren't for the kids that are younger than I am, my computer probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, exactly. But kind of a joke in the IT industry when you're dealing with customer support is that, excuse me, do you have a child around?
Yeah, really.
Yes. How old
and
am
it's
I?
Not that much of a joke, by golly.
Yeah. It's
really?
Yeah, seriously. But anyway, that's what's going on, and they... they're getting the reward, or they, what the heck are they thinking, award for stupidity this week. And others who also feel the same way to deprive a kid of the joys of childhood. Speaking from experience.
Well, it depends where you live and how you live as to what the joys of childhood are.
That's true. I mean, I wasn't allowed.
Let's face it, when we were kids, the joys of childhood were nothing to do with computers.
That's true. Well, I mean, there was Star Trek. You talked about that. Well, wait a minute. Okay, when I was a kid, there was... Never mind.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there wasn't even Star Trek.
Yes.
We were lucky to have... As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, God, come to think of it, we didn't even have television.
Yeah, I know.
I went next door and saw television once in a while, and finally we got one. But I was 12 years, 14 years old before we got a television.
Yeah, we had black and white, which means I never understood the deal about the red shirts on Star Trek until years later when we got color. 646-721-9887. We got... a couple items coming up, and again, we welcome you if you have something you'd like to talk about. Give us a call, 646-721-9887, and we always want your opinion. And same thing, if you are listening to us, the hundreds of people each week that listen to us on the archives, you can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And
that's
as we
true.
Yes, It actually does work, and we do respond to the emails, unless, of course, you are sending us something about Viagra. In that case, it goes in the spam thingy. So now if you are sending us one of those emails that says that all we have to do is write this thing and we get $1 million and it's legit, yes, in that too.
Oh, that's very legit. I'm worth about $400 million right now.
Yeah, I am. I'm still waiting.
That's right, collect those.
Yes. As we started to allude, and we'll get into the Ebola thing a little bit later, but as we started talking about on the program a little early regarding the voter fraud, the Oregon Secretary of State, Kate Brown, sent out this open letter, which she published that at. Anyways, it's online. You can do a search for it. This is dated October 30th. It says, as you know, Oregon's Constitution, Article 2, Section 2, requires that only citizens of the United States are electors in our state. Recently, we've heard reports that Tim Scott, elected elections director for Multnomah County, along with Sherry Hall, verbal report to citizens at a meeting October 10th that their offices are receiving an unusual high number of voter registrations that are incomplete, problematic, or maybe duplicative of people already on the rolls. Dedicated county officials are doing their best to see that all the registrations are handled timely and correctly. Vote by mail is very vulnerable to fraud. No one has to prove anything to apply for voter registration in Oregon. It's all on the honor system. What systems are we using to verify the validity? That doesn't make sense at all. What systems are we using to verify the validity of these registrations? That was the question. Recent news stories show that there are hundreds of thousands of people from 140 different nations coming across our borders illegally. Oregon is considering Measure 88, providing driver's cards for people who cannot prove legal presence, which is on our upcoming ballot. The driver's card would allow these folks to stay here without question and avoid legal immigration laws. We also found out that the driver's cards will be considered valid ID to get on an airplane. I suspect that the driver's card will be used in many forms or for many things not originally intended. This is clearly an incentive for some to register to vote and to vote on Measure 88. And on a side note, part of the reason Oregon was a latecomer in requiring proof of citizenship for a driver's license, but that was only after the federal government warned that if they did not take the stance and require such proof, that driver's license would no longer be allowed as a valid form of identification when boarding an aircraft or other forms of transportation requiring ID.
Well, at this particular point, it shouldn't be anyway, because, you know, it's too easy to get a driver's license in this state, and has been for a long time. Goodness gracious, it's raining.
Yeah, it does that in Oregon.
Yeah, but it went from being a beautiful sunshiny day to absolutely horrible in just a matter of an hour.
Like I say, it does that in Oregon.
It does that in Oregon. This whole thing about the driver's license and about the cards and all that sort of thing, I think an ID card should be a separate card because there's so many different things that you're using your driver's license for right now, and it's nothing to do with driving. And for people who don't drive, like me at the moment, I don't have anything. I haven't bothered to go to get a card of any kind. And if I do, what can I get? I can get a thing that's the same thing as a driver's license. I don't have to, well, I guess I do have to provide ID for it. I should hope I do. I think you should have to provide ID. I think you should have to provide your birth certificate and such things to prove that you were an American citizen. It's not that hard to do, and it doesn't cost money. If you have any smarts at all, you probably have your birth certificate laying around, or at least a copy of your birth certificate laying around somewhere. And if you have any smarts at all, you don't throw it away, because you're going to need it sooner or later. I mean, you can always go back and get one, and of course that does cost money. But if you're going to need it sooner or later, why would you throw it away? It's not that big. You know, it's not like it's big and fat and hard to place or someplace.
Yeah, are you paying attention, Obama?
What's that? True. I don't know. It's just ridiculous that we go through all this trouble. Everybody keeps telling me, oh, it's too expensive. It's too expensive. It doesn't cost anything.
No. The getting some IDs are free or they're, like I say, they don't cost that much at the very least. And people are saying, you know, the argument nationwide and Texas recently got ruled in favor of allowing voter ID is nobody's complaining that if you want to go buy beer, for example, you go down to Safeway, Albertsons, or whoever, and they will card you if you are under every year the age limit goes higher. You know, you're under 30 years old, they'll card you. If you don't have ID, you're not taking home the alcohol. Sorry.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
But nobody.
I got to go close the door. It's raining inside.
Oh, well,
so go away.
Yeah, shut the door and keep the rain outside. But nobody is complaining that it is discriminatory. You know, you're being racist by not allowing me to buy beer because I don't have ID. You don't hear that. But yet, to have the right to vote, which is actually what it is limited, as people know, it is limited to U.S. citizens only, not people from foreign nations or whatever. You know, unless you're a U.S. citizen, you have no right to vote in the United States. And I'm assuming Cliff is now back from drowning.
But I didn't hear what you said, so, because I was out drowning.
That's right. I just for everybody that just missed this, and Cliff, nobody's complaining about it being racist to require ID to buy alcohol, and it is a right limited to citizens of the United States only to vote. At least that's the way the law is.
That's what I thought so too. I mean, if you've got some ID, you've got to use it for certain things, and driver's license is one of them. Voting is one of them. That should be one of the most important ones. Voting.
Right.
I mean, you shouldn't just let everybody in the world vote in our elections because some people are, you know, I don't. On the same token, I don't believe that letting non. How do I want to say this? People without the ID, people without the driver's license, to let them vote because there's not so many of them that are going to try. I don't think enough of them are going to try to defraud the voting service to make a huge difference in it. I don't think people are that interested in it.
Well, that's the myth. And that's the whole point of this letter that Kate Brown put out is because this is something that is directly of interest to people not legally allowed to be here, it is to their advantage to get this measure through. In fact, there's big bucks behind it, you know, in favor of this. However, fortunately, polls taken in Oregon are showing that people overall are not in favor. So that's why they're saying that there's an unusually high number of registrations coming in that, you know, are incomplete and duplicates and whatever as people are trying to register to vote that aren't allowed to vote or vote more than once to try and get this measure passed.
Well, the idea of voting more than once, that's absurd. We need to find a way to get around that.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, unless you can prove, like the DMV, you know, showing a birth certificate, you know, the requirements for Measure 88, the requirements for getting a driver's card, if you want to call it that, is you only have to show proof of residence you've been there for 1 year. You know, you're an undocumented. You can say anything. You can go out and get your consular card and come in and say, hi, I'm, you know, so-and-so, and give me a driver's license. And you could be totally lying. I mean, look how many times, you know, you've said stories before in your experience about working in retail and somebody giving you a Social Security number to try and apply for credit, and it didn't go through, so they give you a different one. You keep trying until one works.
Yeah. The thing is, that's I knew what was going on. I knew who was trying to put me on. I was going along with it because I wanted to make sale. So if you're not trying to make a sale, if you're just trying to get a driver's license, you can put a stop to that without too much trouble.
Right.
Well, and I had an incentive to let them do it.
Yeah. But then again, that doesn't mean that you are right in allowing it. Because obviously the point is that this person's coming, you're only supposed to have one Social Security number per person.
That's right.
And I could have
very easily said when they pulled out the second one, no. Yeah. I mean, absolutely not. You weren't supposed to have that. You aren't supposed to own that. I mean, that's not yours. And I that would have been okay. I didn't because I wanted a sale. That
right.
was the incentives.
Which didn't make it right.
That's true.
And in fact, it even encourages more people to do that. You know, because they're already beginning fraudulently on an application.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. The situation is quite different. I mean, I was trying to make money, and if you're trying to make money at it, you got to let it go. But on the same token, that doesn't make it right, like you say.
Right. Exactly. So.
But the driver's license people are not trying to make money on that.
No,
they should not let it happen.
But unfortunately, and this is what the big deal is on Measure 88 coming up. You know, is like, well, like when last time I had to get my driver's license renewed, I had to show my birth certificate, and they went ahead and copied it and they put it on file. Second time I went in, they already had it on file. I didn't have to show it again. And they're very strict about that. You know, I had a friend.
That's bad.
I know.
I don't know where they're keeping that on file because they can't. If you went, you can go anywhere and get your driver's license renewed, and they can't all have your birth certificate. That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, they are in a central database. But here's the situation, though. A friend of mine, she tried to get her driver's license renewed, and she was moving, and she had to, I can't remember what state that she was born, but they'd only send her birth certificate to her last registered address, which is different than her current address, and so it became a real can of worms to try and get her.
Well, I went through that. I lived in Arizona for a while, very little while. And then I moved to California, and I had just gotten my driver's license renewed in Arizona, and I went to California, and I said, "Well, here's my driver's license from Arizona. Just take that for information because it's all the same." And they said, "No," they said, "We don't do that. We don't transfer it. You have to start." I had to take the test and everything all over again because I didn't have a driver's license. And they didn't count a driver's license in Arizona. It didn't count as anything at all.
That was Oregon, right?
No, it was California.
Oh, California. Oregon has a thing that if you could live here for, you know, years, like 20, 30 years, but if you go away, if you get a driver's license in another state and you're gone for over a year, you got to take the test again.
Well, now that's interesting because I didn't. When I came here, of course, this is a long time ago, but...
Right.
When I came here from Washington, they just said okay and gave me a new driver's license.
Yeah.
So didn't have to learn anything. I didn't even have to know how to drive.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. And, you know, like I said, we can get into the whole immigration thing, which I don't want to at this point with 30 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. See, I'll just slide that right in there. But the deal about...
Well, it was very good sliding it in there until you made mention of it.
I know. Somebody's got to pat me on the back. But again...
Even if it's you.
Even if it's me. Break my arm patting myself on the back. But even still, that you know, somebody crosses the border illegally, I have no sympathy for you. I'm sorry. You know, we have... Like it or not, we have things in place. They're not perfect. They take years. They take money. A lot of people do it, you know, by... millions each year actually go through the proper process, and just because it doesn't work to your into your situation to do it. You know, we have the right not to allow anybody in if we choose to, but we choose to have this system in, even though it is slow, it is not perfect, and, you know, so I'm sorry. I mean, and I do feel for the children that were brought here at an early age and they know nothing else. You know, they kind of become the victims. That's what I've always said. So, unfortunately, you know, I have to agree, no, on 88, do not allow, you know, illegals to have driver's license in Oregon.
Well, now, see, I disagree with that because I want them to have a driver's license in Oregon. I want to know that they know how to drive. But, you know, it doesn't have to be the same as your driver's license. It's as a citizen's driver's license. There can be they can have a big sign on them, a big red thing on them that says, you know, undocumented or whatever they want to say on it. But it needs to be different. But they do need to have a driver's license. They do need to show proof before they can drive. I mean, I'm not real thrilled with having all these people, because we've got an awful lot of people in this state that are not from this state, ready or not. And all of these people are out there driving. We don't know if they know how to drive or not. I mean, we need to give them a driver's license, but it can be different from the regular driver's license. Everybody, it's very obvious the minute they show it, that it is different. I mean,
yeah, but then you're profiling.
What?
Then you're profiling. That's the argument.
That's fine. You know, what is this crap about profiling? Of course you're going to profile. People are different, and we need to know they're different.
Yeah, but then see, the argument is that you're going, oh, I'm advertising, I'm illegal because I have this special driver's license with big red letters on it saying provisional driver's license.
So you're supposed to advertise that you're illegal. That's fine.
Yeah, but
you know,
some
people aren't legal, and we need to know about that. I mean, what is this crap about having everything equal? You know, that's not for.
Well, that's why I say is that you know, if you choose to come here illegally, don't expect us to turn around and say, oh, well, you have now the rights of a U.S. citizen. No, you don't. You're not even supposed to be here. You know, so don't whine that if we do decide to do this and give you a provisional driver's license and it says provisional on it, don't whine that it's profiling. You'd be glad that we actually decided to do this at all.
Right, exactly. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't have a driver's license, then they can put you in jail, and they should.
Exactly, which brings up a question, and I want to move on to our next segment here real quick because we're running against the clock. In fact, we're running over on this segment. On YouTube, if you search for Border Patrol, you'll see you see a lot of videos where the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol is stopping people like 100 miles inside the U.S. border and asking them, are you a U.S. citizen? And even when I took the train to North Dakota, you know, our train was stopped and these armed military people came up and was asking everybody, are you a U.S. citizen? And you had to verbally answer them. So which brings the question is that what happens if somebody says no? Or even more so, why are you guys asking us 100 miles into the United States?
Why are you asking at all if you're doing it verbally? If you're not showing proof, there's no reason to ask.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too, is that why aren't you kind of like on the border? Because, first of all, it's illegal. It's a misdemeanor to enter the United States. It is not illegal to be in the United States.
And now we're getting – that's I've heard this over and over and over again. That's a bunch of crap.
Of course, then again, you have to be in the United States. You have to enter the United States. Isn't that, you know, catch-22 type?
If you're here and you're not legal, it's illegal whether you're here 100 miles in or 200 miles in or at the border. You're here illegally. Consequently, you should be doing something about it. And whoever's asking you this is not accomplishing anything because they're just taking your word for it. That doesn't make any difference. You know, if I'm in the United States illegally and I want to do something illegal, I'm not going to say no,
yeah.
I'm not a citizen. I'm going to say, yes, I am a citizen. And if they don't bother to check, then it's their fault.
Yeah, just like on Ghostbusters, next time somebody asks you if you're a god, say yes.
Okay.
646-721-9887. I want to go ahead and move on to the next topics here because we're running long on this segment. So get into the Ebola. I'm going
to
call
I'd like to say one thing about the spaceship thing that fell down on the out of the sky, because we've had two spaceships that fell down in 4 days, and I didn't realize there were that many ships being sent up in the air constantly. I mean, there's eight different companies that are putting spaceships in the air, and there's like within 4 days we've got a couple of them going. And they're falling out of the sky, but we've been doing pretty good so far. But now we're going to have so many people trying to go up there. We've got people that want to get into space, and the pilot aboard this thing was injured, and the co-pilot actually didn't make it. He stayed with the, I don't know if he stayed with the ship because that's the thing to do, or if it just something happened, and we still don't know for sure exactly what took place. But we do know that I found out that there are like eight different companies that are doing forays into space that I didn't, I thought there were one or maybe two, and they're not. They don't have anything to do with the government. They're all private companies that are doing all of this sort of thing. Now they're working with NASA. Because NASA has all the information and all of the, they've been doing this for so long that they're willing to help. And that's the way NASA stays alive, is because these different companies, these private companies, are paying them to get some of the information that they have, which is fine. But I mean, let's face it, let's get on the bandwagon here. It's just amazing that we've got that much stuff going on. And it's not a government-run enterprise. It's a private enterprise. And so someday we're going to buy a ticket and go to the moon or go to Mars or whatever. And everybody would like to – well, not everybody would like to do that, but a lot of people would like to do that. 500 people, as a matter of fact, have booked themselves on a flight. As a matter of fact, 500 people have booked themselves on the flight that Justin Bieber did. That's just ridiculous, but –
never mind.
I don't know why Justin Bieber is so. Every time we get something like this mentioned, he's mentioned. He's involved in some way or another. Maybe of course he has money, so why not?
Yeah. Just like if we had money, we would have billboards advertising this program.
There you go. But anyway, I just wanted to make mention of the fact that that these people are. Still working, people still want to go up into space, and a lot of people want to go up into space, and so we're still working on it. It's really unfortunate that one was unmanned and one was manned, so we did lose people this time in the last couple of days. So I'm going to pay more attention, I think, to what's going on with the space race, I guess we'll call it, in the future. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, it is big business and stuff. That the first Hilton Hotel or McDonald's, or whatever. I mean, it's going to happen. Maybe not in my lifetime, but it will happen.
Well, part of the point, I think, before we do that, we're going to have people bringing. Riches, different materials back, gold, silver, whatever, back from space, from the moon, or I'm sure that we've got a. I think personally that people used to. Well, life did happen on Mars. It may not be there now. I don't know. It may be there now. But the thing I believe that something did. Something or someone did live on Mars at one time or another, and I'd like to know for sure. So I'd like to have more people going to Mars.
I'd like to send a few people to Mars.
That's possible too. Different story.
Different story. 646-721-9887 in this post-Halloween. And
that's true. We didn't have very many people for Halloween. I don't know about you. Do you have many people? You're in the mainstream, main part of the town, so you probably get a lot more people.
I don't know. I had to work.
Oh.
My Halloween costume was wearing a hairnet and getting granola all over me.
Well, we had about five people come in five groups come in for Halloween and do trick or treating, which wasn't very much at all. We had still have a lot of candy left over. I was going to say we did have a lot of candy left over. It was put away because otherwise I'll eat it.
You put your sister away?
No, my sister put the candy away.
Oh, so Candy put the candy away.
Candy put the candy away.
Okay. 646-721-9887, 20 minutes remaining in the program. Still time to give us a call if you'd like, or join us in the chat room. Either way, we'd love to have your comments. We've been talking about, I want to get to the Ebola thing, because we're running short on this segment. It's said for quite a while, at least I have, and Cliff and I have gotten into a long discussion on it, on how the Ebola virus is, you know, which has taken at least 5,000 lives overseas, is starting to show up here in the U.S., starting with, you know, one guy who died, and then we have reports of several others who have acquired it. And the Obama and the CDC have both tried to reassure us that the odds of catching Obama, is fairly rare. And so, you know, no panic, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Don't worry about it. And, well, CDC actually came out and admitted that a person who sneezes, for example, on a door handle, which is part of bodily fluids, if somebody touches that door handle within an hour of the sneeze, is at risk for contracting Ebola. There's no guarantee you're going to get it, but you're at risk for contracting it. And this is apparently what's going on here at home, not the touching the door handle, but in Portland, Oregon, which is about 102 miles from where we are at in Eugene, and a little bit further where Cliff's at in Cottage Grove, but either still, a woman has self-quarantined herself, showing all the symptoms of having Ebola. And there's not too much more news on that I'm aware of, at least because this is an article that just came out yesterday, so we're still kind of gathering news information on that. But it's just kind of, I mean, it's one thing when you're hearing it, you know, over in New York, over in Texas. I mean, that's way over there across the United States, but here, you know.
They're bringing it right to home.
They're bringing it right to home. So, and it gets back to the argument, which took us a long time to actually restrict travel from infected countries like West Africa, for example. And in this case here, a female who traveled, and this is from CNN, a female who traveled from West Africa to Portland area has been self-monitoring for symptoms and was hospitalized in quarantine after developing a fever. The Oregon.
And she didn't do that, by the way, herself. She did the temperature, the checks and everything by herself,
right.
But she didn't put herself in quarantine.
No, she woke. It says here the patient woke up on Friday, took her temperature, learned it was over 102 degrees, and apparently she contacted the Monona County Health Department. She was taken in a specifically equipped medical transport vehicle to Providence Milwaukee Hospital. So I give her kudos for at least having a brain and going, hey, I just came from an Ebola-affected country. I'm showing symptoms. Maybe I better, like, you know, do something. Other than this one nurse who was showing some symptoms, but it turns out she actually was not infected, who decided she fought the quarantine and won and, you know, was out riding bikes and doing whatever. But what would happen if, I mean, it was turned out that she was not infected days later, but what would happen if she did test positive?
See, we still don't know for sure, because we don't know for sure about this quarantine period, this time frame that we're looking at.
Right.
This is all too new to be aware of. We don't know for sure what's going on. As far as I'm concerned, we should, in particular, people who have been infected or have been affected, not infected, but affected
right.
by this, should be put away for a while. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, we're granted we're inconveniencing them a little bit, but if they were in a position where they could have caught this thing, why take the chance of giving an entire state a deadly disease? Because this, you don't recoup from this.
Not just the state, but the U.S.
Could be.
And that's the whole point is that you come from, like I say, West Africa, someplace that has this outbreak going on. Have some smarts. You know, if you're suffering some symptoms, it's best to err on the side of caution. Yeah, we're going to inconvenience you for a couple of weeks, but you turn out to be clear, great. Thousands of people will thank you for your contribution. But when you come out and go, well, I just came from West Africa, and I'm running a little bit of a temperature. Well, I don't think it's nothing, you know. I'm running 102 degree temperature.
If you're a doctor or not, you're not the one making that decision because there's too many people involved.
Exactly.
Even if you're fine, even if there's nothing wrong with you, it's still just prudent to keep you separated from the rest of the people because you just don't know yet.
Totally agree. And some states have taken it upon themselves because they are allowed to legally to go above and beyond the federal requirements and have made it mandatory that, you know, if you're from West Africa or the other countries that have this and you're showing signs of the 21-day quarantine. However, just like with Arizona and the illegal immigration system, the White House has said that it is their job to regulate this and encourage the two states that have the mandatory restrictions to ease up on them. Which is interesting how our overlords jump in on this type of stuff. But, you know, other states like Oregon, I don't know if Oregon has a mandatory, but according to our governor, Kit Somber, he says we do have systems in place to deal with this. If nothing else, how to deal with it, whether it's quarantine or not. I don't see any details yet, but I haven't. Other countries like Canada suspends visa applications from foreign nations that are infected. Mexico has already set up restrictions that if you not allowing incoming traffic from infected nations. And, you know, some other places are taking it seriously, where, again, it took us a long time to put those travel restrictions in place.
Well, I don't mind if we let people in, if we want to keep them in one place until we find out what's going on. There's no reason to just willy-nilly turn people loose when we don't know what they're carrying. They don't know if there's a problem or not. Maybe there's not. If that's true, that's great. We'll find out that's true. But meanwhile, we need to put some restrictions on where they go and what they do.
Exactly. And it's not like people do die from the flu, but this isn't like the flu.
That's true. I mean, the simple fact is you get thousands of people who have the flu and maybe tens of them will, very few of them even die. I can't remember hearing anybody dying of the flu in a long, long time. But the thing is, Ebola, almost everybody does.
Yeah. In fact, the CDC says that it does not spread at all by air. Then Friday came out with this poster saying they admit these particles are droplets may land on objects such as doorknobs and that Ebola can be transmitted that way. They also mentioned that a shorter duration for dry surfaces like tabletop or doorknob and longer durations in moist. On the CDC website, they do mention, we brought this up last week, or actually a caller brought this to our attention, that it can live up to 3 months in semen. And so they recommend that if you are suspected not to have intercourse, oral or otherwise, for at least that long, because it can spread that way. In other words, you can be a carrier and not even know it.
That's true. And that's why we need to err on the point of caution, because, you know, if you don't know, you just don't let it happen.
Right.
I mean, there's no reason to just willy-nilly let people do whatever they want to do when they're out there spreading all kinds of things and you don't know about it. We wouldn't do that in any other instance that I know of.
Well, that's the thing, just like I guess there's an organization called Doctors Without Borders. Because one of the nurses, Nurse Casey Hickox, who was quarantined against her will at the New Jersey hospital after treating Ebola patients in West Africa, is staying at an undisclosed location in Maine. Tuesday night, her lawyer told ABC News, going forward, she does not intend to abide by the quarantine imposed by Maine officials because she's not at risk to others. Well, who makes that decision?
That's the point. She is not the one to make that decision, because even if she perhaps is a medical professional, she is not the one to make that decision. You don't know what kind of things happen to you when you are infected with this Ebola. It may affect your memory. It may affect your mind. It may affect anything. But the simple fact is, you can't let people just go out and do what they want to do. I mean, they've got to be put in a situation where they're at least watched and protected. You know, it could be many people are aware of the fact that this lady has gotten out and walked among people and has infected anybody, then she's going to be in trouble, because her life is not going to be worth much if people think there's being a possibility of being infected just by being near her. And consequently, it could be for her own protection that she's put into quarantine.
Well, and it could be something, I mean, I'm not going to, as Obama says, and I'll have to somewhat, yes, write this down, somewhat agree with it. I'm trying to find the article again because I'm scanning news articles, but Obama is saying, you know, don't go on the fear factor. You know, President Obama delivered he did a speech, then went out to the fundraiser. New Jersey's governor Chris Christie's treatment of Hickox, saying officials should not react to the crisis based on fears. No, there's a difference between fear and caution. And
they
talk about it can be spread, and CDC admits this part, that it can be spread, you know, by transmission of fluids and, you know, such as saliva, blood, or whatever. But here's the thing. Now, I do not know this for a fact. I'm just speculating. How many diseases, including fatal ones, are delivered by mosquitoes?
Right.
So if a mosquito is sucking your blood and then goes and goes to...
Put some of it on the next guy.
Right. No, but I mean, because...
Well, mosquitoes are small. They're easy to get around. And they're all over the place, and there's not much you can do about them. I mean, you know, once you found out you had a mosquito on your arm and it bit you, it's too late.
Yeah. And I'm trying to I hate websites that don't get to the point. I was just curious how the Black Plague was spread, and the website that I'm looking on goes into a long, drawn-out history but does not answer my question. But the whole point is, especially in, because we are... Well, because the Black Plague was the 1330s, you know, we are a much more dense population now, and we do, you know, even just going to the schools, you're dealing with thousands of people. Look at the University of Oregon, the Ducks football game. How many people are in that stadium?
Well, and the thing is, we are much more prepared to deal with this. We are much more prepared to have doctors and such that are better prepared to deal with it. But this is unknown. This is something we don't know about, and consequently, we shouldn't be out there accepting the fact that we can control it. We can't control it. Until we know what we're doing, we should be doing something about controlling it. And the only thing we can do about controlling it that I know of is to quarantine people, and people shouldn't be upset about that. That's not the end of the world. The fact is you're being held in a position because you could be hurting someone. Well, we should be doing that anyway.
I agree. Because, I mean, I'm going to be the first to admit that I do not know that much about Ebola and how it spread and everything. I admit, you know, I haven't had time to really get into it that heavily, and I'm going to remedy that at some point here. But, you know, again, if you don't take, I mean, it's a serious disease. It's a deadly disease.
Yeah.
And that's the part that gets me frustrated, is that because it is a deadly disease, early treatment, of course, is, even though we don't have a really good treatment that I understand, but still, early treatment of something is good for anything, really, is what I'm trying to say. But, you know, if you do contract it, yeah, I mean, it's scary that, oh, my God, I have a deadly disease, but don't share.
Well, and a lot of people are very upset about Obama's decision to name a political person rather than a medical person as their expert in controlling this thing. But the fact is that this man's his Ron Klein is his name, by the way. His expertise is in managing people. His expertise is not medical. But that's the thing is, nobody's expertise is medical in this particular case because nobody knows for sure what the deal is. So consequently, I think that Obama was correct in naming this guy as the czar or whatever you want to call him now.
Right.
But I mean, he's there because he can manage the people, he can manage the White House, he can manage the situation that's other than medical. Because he's the one who knows how to do that. If you put a doctor in there, he may be able to handle the actual Ebola crisis itself, the actual Ebola series itself better, but he wouldn't be able to control the people that are involved in it. He wouldn't be able to understand all of the things to do with managing the crisis of people. And that's what we've got is a crisis of people.
Okay, I got a quick question for you as we're running into the last couple minutes of the program. Recently, as a PR stunt, I want to call it what it is, Obama trying to calm the fears of the dangers of the widespread Ebola outbreak, I'm quoting the Washington Post, in the United States are extremely low, pointing. And so much so that he actually shook hands, hugged, and kissed a couple of the nurses at Emory, and one of them was supposedly had Ebola or was suspected of having Ebola. And what would happen PR-wise is by doing this is Obama himself actually contracted the disease.
Well, you know, the thing is, Obama is the one who hugged this person. Obama is going to have the very best medical advice and help that there is possible on this planet. And consequently, if you know, he could have hugged this lady and been very nice about it and all that sort of thing and immediately gone to the doctor and immediately have every possible check that they can. And he's, of course, watched every minute of the time. From that time on, well, all the time. So we're talking about a different thing than if a regular person did something like that. You're not talking about the same type of...
Obama also announced, sorry to interrupt, that SWAT teams from the CDC would be deployed within 24 hours to any hospital that reports a new case of the disease as a way to help hospitals that do not have experience in dealing with Ebola. And so it'd be kind of interesting I don't know if the Portland Hospital does or not, but it'll be interesting to follow up on that. We're out of time. And once again, I hope everybody had a safe and happy Halloween, those people that were allowed to participate in it. And we'll be back next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Have a good day and have a good night. And
stay dry. We'll see you next week.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.